This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from the Oregon Country Fair, July 7th, 8th, and 9th, featuring music, food, and crafts in Vineta, Oregon. Admission and parking tickets are available only at Tickets West, as absolutely no tickets will be sold at the fair site. For directions and information on how to take Amtrak to this drug and alcohol-free event, the number is 1-800-992-8499 or OregonCountryFair.org.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
You said that you wanted to close the prison at Guantanamo Bay, but you were waiting for the Supreme Court decision that came out today. Do you intend now to close the Guantanamo Bay quickly? And how do you deal with the suspects that you said were too dangerous to be released or sent home?
Thank you for the question on the court ruling that literally came out in the midst of my meeting with the Prime Minister. And so I haven't had a chance to fully review the findings of the Supreme Court. I want to assure you that we take them very seriously.
In a rebuke to the Bush administration, the Supreme Court rules against the use of military tribunals to try Guantanamo prisoners. We'll speak with attorney Barbara Olshansky of the Center for Constitutional Rights, which represents over 250 detainees at Guantanamo. Then Dr. Stephen Miles on oath betrayed, torture, medical complicity, and the war on terror.
Physicians, nurses, and medics were complicit with the human rights abuses in American prisons throughout Afghanistan, Iraq, and Guantanamo. This is the finding from Freedom of Information documents released by the ACLU.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. In a landmark decision, the Supreme Court has rebuked the Bush administration for forming military tribunals to try prisoners at Guantanamo Bay. In a 5-3 ruling, the court said the military tribunals violate both the Uniform Code of Military Justice and the Geneva Convention. The impact of the case is expected to go well beyond Guantanamo, as the justices ruled that the so-called war on terror must be fought under international rules. Legal experts say the ruling challenges the Bush administration's legal defense of harsh interrogation methods, the CIA's secret prisons, and the National Security Agency's domestic surveillance program. The court ruled the Geneva Convention must apply to prisoners captured in the war on terror. In Thursday's ruling, Justice John Paul Stevens wrote, quote, "The executive is bound to comply with the rule of law that prevails in this jurisdiction." The New York Times called the decision a, quote, "historic event, a defining moment in the ever-shifting balance of power." Ben Wisner of the American Civil Liberties Union hailed the Supreme Court's ruling.
It's a very important decision today, and we have to remember what Guantanamo is. Guantanamo was an attempt on behalf of the administration to create an island outside the law, to bring these detainees to a place where no law applied to them and where the United States could do whatever it wanted to them. And what the Supreme Court said today is that even in Guantanamo Bay, U.S. law and international law apply. And if we're going to try these people for crimes, we have to try them under a legal system, not a system that we make up as we go along.
Voting in favor of the military tribunals were three justices, Antonin Scalia, Samuel Alito, and Clarence Thomas. For the first time in his 15 years on the court, Clarence Thomas read part of his dissent from the bench. He said the court's decision would, quote, "sorely hamper the president's ability to confront and defeat a new and deadly enemy." Chief Justice John Roberts abstained from the case because he'd ruled on the case in favor of the military tribunals when he served as a federal judge. Unknown at the time of that ruling was that Roberts was already being interviewed by the White House for a seat on the Supreme Court. Human rights groups around the world hailed Thursday's Supreme Court ruling. This is British attorney Clive Stafford Smith, who represents a number of prisoners at Guantanamo.
I think the message for the Bush administration is very clear, that if you are fighting a war for democracy and the rule of law, the first casualty shouldn't be the rule of law. We should live up to our principles. And you know, if you do, if you respect human rights, then not only do more people respect you and want to help you, there are far fewer people who want to blow you up. It's just good policy as well as being decent.
We'll have more on the ruling in a few minutes. Israel's assault on the Gaza Strip has entered its third day as Israel attempts to recover a captured soldier. Overnight, Israeli warplanes bombed Gaza more than 30 times. One Israeli bomb hit the Palestinian Interior Ministry office in Gaza City and set it ablaze. Israeli shells also hit the electricity distribution network in northern Gaza. This comes just 2 days after Israeli warplanes bombed Gaza's main power station, leaving much of Gaza without power. The United Nations is warning Gaza is 3 days away from a deadly humanitarian crisis unless Israel promptly restores fuel and electricity. According to the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, Israel has not allowed fuel to flow into Gaza for 4 days. Many Gaza residents are now without clean water because they rely on electricity to pump that water. The UN's emergency relief coordinator, Yang Eglin, said military action targeting innocent civilians violates international humanitarian law. Israel's also coming under increasing criticism for its decision to seize at least 64 Hamas lawmakers, including the Palestinian foreign minister. One-third of the Palestinian cabinet is now being detained by Israel. This is UN envoy Alvaro de Soto.
I'm not sure what purpose is served by these arrests. I don't understand how it fits into the purpose of an operation which, as I understood, was designed in order to obtain the release of Gilad Shalit.
But Israel has defended the move. This is Public Security Minister Avi Dichter.
We'll put in jail every person belonging to Hamas that we suspect that he has something to do with Hamas' philosophy of carrying out terror attacks, which means assassinating, murdering Israelis, never mind if it's civilians or soldiers, never mind if it's within green lines or within the West Bank or the Gaza Strip and from those areas towards Israel.
Earlier today, Israel revoked the Jerusalem residency rights of 4 Hamas officials. In Iraq, a top Iraqi Sunni leader with ties to leading insurgent groups says rebels have rejected Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's national reconciliation plan. They rejected it because it fails to offer a timetable for the withdrawal of foreign troops. Romania has become the latest country to announce it's planning to withdraw its troops from Iraq. In a surprise move, Romania's prime minister ordered the removal of all of its 890 troops. He cited the human and financial cost of the war. 10 days ago, Japan announced plans to pull its 600 troops out of Iraq within weeks. Italy's already said it'll remove its troops by year's end. Spain, the Netherlands, Ukraine, Nicaragua, the Philippines, and Honduras have already pulled out. Meanwhile, a new poll of 100 leading counterterrorism and national security experts has found that 84% believe the U.S. is not winning the war on terror. And 87% of the experts said the war in Iraq is hurting the global anti-terror campaign. The poll was conducted by the magazine Foreign Policy and the Center for American Progress. One former CIA official who described himself as a conservative Republican said the war in Iraq has provided global terrorist groups with a recruiting bonanza and a valuable training ground. In Washington, D.C., President Bush and the Japanese Prime Minister, Junichiro Koizumi, warned North Korea not to test fire a long-range ballistic missile. President Bush met with Koizumi at the White House Thursday.
The North Korean issue is one, obviously, that's got everybody's attention now. Us, this issue in length, we both agreed that it's right to remain united in sending a clear message to the North Korean leader that, first of all, launching the missile is unacceptable.
Today, President Bush and the Japanese Prime Minister are heading to Elvis Presley's home at Graceland. International pressure has been mounting on North Korea ever since the New York Times reported on its front page 2 weeks ago that North Korea's long-range missiles were fueled and ready to take off. The report was based on unnamed officials. But now the Times appears to be backing off from its original reporting. Earlier this week, the paper ran an article on page A9 quoting an unnamed official admitting it's actually impossible to even know if North Korea has has fueled the missile, since the missile is inside a closed container. On Capitol Hill, the Republican-led House of Representatives has passed a resolution condemning news organizations for reporting on classified information that the government wants to keep secret. The vote came less than a week after the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, and the Wall Street Journal revealed the U.S. Treasury Department is secretly monitoring international bank transactions. The resolution's co-sponsor, Ohio Republican Mike Oxley, said the government, quote, expects the cooperation of all news media as it fights the so-called war on terror. Democrat Maurice Hinchey of New York accused his Republican counterparts of trying to intimidate the press. Meanwhile, House Republican J.D. Hayworth of Arizona has collected the signatures of 70 House members to call for the media credentials of the New York Times to be revoked. The UN Human Rights Council has approved a new international treaty to ban states from abducting individuals and hiding them in secret prisons or killing them. The treaty, which still has to be approved by the UN General Assembly, would require nations to keep registers of prisoners and tell their families the truth about their disappearance. The United States is not expected to ratify the pact, the International Convention for the Protection of All Persons from Enforced Disappearance. And a coalition of advocacy groups are suing the federal government in an effort to challenge a new law that requires all Medicaid recipients to prove their citizenship or lose their benefits or long-term care. The rule goes into effect tomorrow. Critics fear millions of U.S. citizens may not be able to produce the necessary paperwork. Most affected might be elderly African Americans who were born in the rural South at a time when many black women were barred from maternity wards. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
And welcome to our listeners and viewers. In a major defeat for the Bush administration, the Supreme Court has ruled against the use of military commissions to try Guantanamo detainees. The White House established the commissions in the months after 9/11 for detainees captured in the so-called War on Terror. The commissions placed several restrictions on the rights of suspects, including limited access to the evidence used against them. In a 5-3 vote Thursday, the court ruled the practice violates U.S. and international law. Chief Justice John Roberts recused himself from the case. He had previously taken part in a federal appeals court decision that had rejected a challenge to the legality of the commissions.